B-Pod Studios.
Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
.95 Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich, and Adam Jones has been nice enough to sit in the studio with us while we are running with somewhat of a skeleton crew here at the station. So, Fred is out this week. A lot of school vacations, a lot of people taking the kids out of town. Mike Lockhart also out this week. He does a lot of the production for the show, which means that young Nicholas, nearly dead Nick, has been carrying like three different jobs all at once. Usually he's Captain Twitch. He's the Twitch guy. He's you go to twitch.tv and you search the Sports Hub. Nick's the man running the show. He's got the two camera angles that he switches from back and forth. He's got the space bar button that toggles.
Goes from A to B like nobody's business.
Yeah, it's like, wow, Fred's making a point. Toggle. Man, Rich is blowing minds. Toggle.
Wallach's
saying something. Toggle back on Rich and Fred. That's
basically what happens.
Cut audio.
That's right. That's a clean two-shot of the two guys. I'm just going to sit over here and have no one pay attention. That's
I saw Nick come in and he goes, hey, Nick, do me a favor. Just for Twitch, would you mind scooting all the way to the right? Like, kind of away from the desk. It's like at the window, just so you're not in the frame. But Nick's coming in. He's like adjusting the windows when it's too bright in here. Nick's very busy. But on top of that, he's also doing the phones this morning and been helping out with audio as well. So Nick is a jack of all trades.
Wearing a lot of hats, yeah.
He's wearing a lot of hats. The other thing about Nick is that this morning specifically, I've never seen a man so completely lost and just out of sync without his glasses. Nick lost his glasses last night, and I believe they ended up getting plowed over. Is that right, Nick?
What happened?
So, Nick, hop on the mic real quick. So, Nick comes in this morning.
I just figured he had, like, contacts in or something.
No. They got crushed by a plow yesterday.
Oh, now, how did that happen?
Well, I was getting out of my car. I put them in my pocket and walking to the condo, and apparently they slipped out of my pocket, and I thought I dropped them in the condo, so I then went outside and realized that they got pancaked by a plow that was working on the parking lot.
You don't have a backup pair?
Nope.
All right, Wallach, how many backup pairs do you have?
Zero. I'm with Nick. I don't have a backup pair either.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Okay, so
I can't see a thing without these things.
Okay, so here's the thing about Nick is that, like, Nick, I when you first started working with us, you didn't have glasses, right?
During the BCN days?
Yeah.
No,
okay.
I did not.
All right. So I've seen your face without glasses, like, for years.
Yeah.
And now that you have glasses, for some reason, when you don't, you look weird.
I know.
Like, your face completely changes. Like, you're cherubic without the glasses.
It bugs me so much this morning.
How lost are you without your glasses?
Very lost.
Okay. All right.
More than usual.
Okay. No, I mean, like, are you, like, how off, like, are you off balance? Like, I mean, how much is this messing you up?
No, it's a struggle to, you know, focus and everything.
Okay. John, but it's a struggle anyway. How lost are you when you lose your glasses?
Well, as I said, I can't see without them. I legit can't see. I'm legally blind in one eye.
I don't think I've ever seen you without glasses.
There was one morning where I broke my glasses and had to tape them up, if you remember correctly.
See, I just thought that was your look. I just thought the tape between the glasses was just natural.
I had the spaz wear on that one morning.
It's true. Okay.
Yeah.
Now that I realize I've never seen you without the glasses.
Yeah.
Should I see you without the glasses, or would it freak me out?
Probably freak
because
you out.
Because for some reason, there's something about like people who always see wear glasses. It's like someone who has a mustache, and they shave it, it's like their head disappears.
All of a sudden, it's gone. You're like, wait a minute.
Okay, it's like Matt Patricia when he shaved the beard.
I agreed, yeah.
That was a weird moment, and I never looked at him the same. So, John.
Yeah. Really? All right.
Can I see you without the glasses?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a weird dude.
Yeah.
That is really
glasses
weird.
Are off. Make sure. You see, this is why we need Nick for the Twitch cam.
All right.
Make sure you get me in the shot this time, but he's over in the other
Have
room.
You ever, okay, so, like, what was the most that you panicked when you lost your glasses? Like, I mean, like, were you ever, like, somewhere you had to drive home?
Were you just feeling
and you
around,
didn't have your glasses?
Just feeling around.
Yeah, that happened at a friend's house a few years ago. I thought I had lost my glasses. I'm like, I'm going to have to stay here tonight. I can't get behind the car. I can't. I honest to God, I can't drive home.
Do you think?
Could call a taxi or something?
Well, I could have done that, I suppose. But I mean,
or you just wanted to be creepy and say the guy's out.
No, that was the whole thing. I panicked because I wasn't thinking straight. I'm like, oh my God, I can't see anything.
And then he saw your face without the glasses. Like,
yeah,
see,
he's like, no, you're definitely not staying here.
Do you think if we hit his glasses on him, his hearing all of a sudden would get really good? Like, the rest of your senses would get really heightened?
You're like Daredevil.
Attuned.
Yeah, that's right. You could be
someone
a superhero, Wallach.
You don't even know. Just throw it right into my face, and everything will be fine.
Well, I mean, you took it to the next level there. Yeah.
Well,
no one wants to throw acid on your
sight. That's how Daredevil lost his sight.
I see you're going down the Daredevil route. All right, well, I think that we need to test this. It's, I think we need to do the John Wallach and Nick Jamelli glasses-less Olympics.
Oh, I like this.
Nick's going to kill me. He is.
Nick, get in here.
I'm lost without it.
Get in here. All right. So you two obviously admit that you are completely lost as Nick walks into a door. And let's just put this to the test. All right. That's why I needed Mr. Joe Murray from the Bankroll Boys.
Oh, okay. Because
you wanted to set some odds?
I need some odds on this. So, Nick, I want you to go stand over there kind of near John Wallach, okay?
Okay.
And I want to know, I have in my hand... I tried to look for a ball. How great is this? We work at a sports station. We don't even have a ball.
You have a rubber chicken?
What I found it's like a foam chicken.
A foam
which
chicken.
Is the size of like a baseball.
Okay.
And I want to find out if I throw this foam chicken to you guys from across the room
seven times.
How many times? Who's going to catch it the most? Will it be Nick?
Oh, that Jamelli's got
it. Or will it be Wallach?
Jamelli, if you lose this one, I swear to God. All right. Let's go.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Yes. Am I okay here?
Yeah, you're okay there. Yeah. Adam Jones, who's catching the chicken the most? Because, okay, here's the thing. Like, Nick has worn glasses. Like, how many years have you worn glasses, John?
Oh, God. 20?
20?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, easily. How many years have you were like seven?
Easily.
Six or seven.
Okay, but you're also kind of fumbling and bumbling. You almost died.
Yes.
Okay, so you have to kind of...
Why is that the qualifier?
No, there's that. No, but I mean, it's Vegas. They're gonna they make their odds based on everything.
Okay.
They're gonna factor that in. They're not gonna overlook that. It's Vegas.
There's several different factors here. Also, John Wallach, you're both okay. The lights are exactly the same.
Yeah.
We don't control them.
Right.
So I can't. We can't use it as a factor. Can't turn them off to make it even.
Yeah.
You guys are. We'll have you stand at the same spot. Okay.
Okay.
So,
that's fine.
So that factor will go in. There.
Yeah.
Nick is like. You know what we should do? We should have the control group of how many times Nick will catch it with his glasses.
No, that's what I was going to say. We can do that with Wallach. We can control it with Wallach. We can't do that with Nick.
Maybe we do it that way, and then we see and like how much will the quality drop off?
Yeah. It's like it's DRS in baseball. They're defensive run save. We calculate that out.
Now, and you watched a lot of baseball. Did you ever play at John Wallach?
Yes.
Okay, you played. Did you ever play baseball, Nick?
No.
Okay, you have to factor all of these things
in.
Right.
No, that's good to know.
Are there
it's
any
good to know?
Are there
other sports? What other sports?
I haven't swung and missed at a fastball in a long time.
Softball. I have played.
Played softball.
I'm not very good.
Well, you got the ass for it.
Wow.
That's harsh.
This is mean.
Was uncalled for.
Yeah, that was
I'm with you on that one. That wasn't right.
It's kind of
that
a Lonnie.
Right
you got a Lonnie Smith situation.
Oh, jeez. Now, the question is, does Nick know who Lonnie Smith is?
Probably not.
No,
probably not. Terry Pendleton.
Still
doesn't know that one. Okay,
no.
All right.
Terry Pendleton
Okay, so here's what we'll do. We will set the odds. I will get a hold of Dan Lifshatz because Joe Murray's sleeping in.
Yeah.
He's probably sleeping off a sweet little buzz from last night from Bongzilla.
So is Lifshatz training in San Diego, or is he actually here this time?
Training with a baseball bat, chasing people down?
Something on a dock somewhere,
All right, so we'll get the odds from those guys. When we get back, it will be the glassesless Olympics.
Sure.
Between Nick Jamelli, who looks completely lost this morning, and John Wallach, who says he is he's legally blind.
In my left eye.
Without his glasses.
Yep.
I will hum this styrofoam chicken at their head. And who will be able to catch the most? All we will find out right after this.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We have Adam here in studio. And this is, if you're just now joining us, Nick Jamelli yesterday ended up dropping his glasses. They got plowed over. And I've never seen a man look more lost in his life without glasses. Like, I mean, he's just, it's like his hands are out. He's feeling for things. And the fact that neither of you guys, Nick and John Wallach, you don't have a backup ready to go is kind of fascinating. I haven't had glasses. I'll probably very soon get them. I can feel it
right,
coming.
I was going to ask. You don't wear contacts?
I don't, but it'll happen soon. I know it's going to happen. But
that's, as a non-glasses wearing person, that also surprises me that neither of you have a backup.
Yeah, I've just been too lazy to go. To
be honest with you. Well, sure, no, I understand that. Yeah. However, it led me to think we needed to find some way to settle all this. With who is the most incompetent without their glasses, and this would be the glassless Olympics, where we are going to line up both Nick Jamelli and John Wallach against the wall, and I have in my hand, because you can't find a ball at a sports station, which is hysterical, so there's a foam chicken that we've got here. It's the size of a baseball. Out of 7 tosses to each of them, who will be able to catch it the least amount of times? And I said, in order to make this truly fair, we got to get one of the bankroll boys on to lay the odds. And of course, the great Joe Murray. What's up, Joe Murray? How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing that Adam Jones show turnaround and waking up in the morning to call you guys. How are you?
Doing excellent. By the way, somebody said I'm convinced that Rich is lying when he claims he's never been high. Only explanation for how he came up with this break. Hashtag glassesless Olympics. And then we said Rich wanting odds on Nick and Ken Griffey Rules catching a ball. Thanks, Bankroll Boys. You've turned him into a degenerate. So that's why we have you on. You are the master of the spreads. There's a whole lot of things to consider here that we've gone over. Nick has never played baseball. Wallach has. Nick has played softball, which it doesn't really count, but he has the ass for a softball player. What are the odds?
I don't have a big butt.
Who should be favored in this contest? That. Wallach says he's completely blind. He's had glasses for 20 years. Wallach's only had
more
them for
than
seven.
More than
20
years.
More than 20 years. So out of 7 tosses, who do you think will catch the most amount of passes of this chicken here?
So the favorite has to be John Wallach for the simple the simple fact that he's actually played athletics. I've seen Nick. Remember when you guys were in studio and you had the costumes and he tried to have the sword or whatever?
Yes.
That didn't work out so well. So he's favored for this one, and I think he's a heavy favorite. I'm going to go John Wallach minus 250 in this.
Whoa! Let it be written.
That my is goodness. Insulting.
Let it be done.
Nick.
The Bankroll really Boys have spoken. All right. Thank you, Joe Murray. Thanks for waking up nice and early after a late ass night.
Now go back to sleep.
See you, man. Okay.
Not even at the end.
Yeah.
I'm going to sleep.
All right. So I think that in order to keep this fair.
Minus 250?
That's a lot.
Big deal.
I'll fade that all
that's
day.
That's a lot.
That's too much. That's
Nick,
too much.
Nick, you need to rise to the occasion.
That is too much, Vegas.
Hey, Joe Murray, I'll put a hundo on that. Let's go.
You're doubling down on the favorite.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I'll go to favorite. Now, I can't throw this because I have to be impartial. So, Tom, could you come in here? Tom's a pretty big guy. Everyone's T-Bone for, of course, the midday show. Fairly athletic guy.
Fairly?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of jacked.
I felt like a fire hydrant.
So, I think that he should be the one who throws it.
All right.
Tom, do you feel comfortable throwing this? Did you ever play baseball? Yeah, of course you did.
Yeah, man, yeah.
Jacked, you're man of all sports.
All right, now where's he standing and where are we standing?
Okay, so here's how it's going to work. You guys stand up right there.
All right.
Stand up right where you are.
Okay.
And T-Bone, you are, what is this? What would you say that is? About like 20 feet?
Yep. Yeah, I'd say
about 20 feet?
Yeah.
All right. Just as a practice. Neither of you guys catch it. Just give it a lob. Let me see what kind of thing you're doing. That's perfect. That is the perfect speed. That is a little lob.
I'd say a little arc to it, but there's a little heat on there.
That's a batting practice pitch right there.
You have no stake in this whatsoever. There's more to be done.
Okay,
there.
John, I get freaked out when I see you without your glasses. Somebody said, what would be worse, walk without his glasses?
Who was just talking to me?
Well, somebody's saying, walk without his glasses, is it worse than what would look like with Dan Shaughnessy without his fro?
I don't know, toss up.
And it would be strange.
Heavy odds on Shaughnessy.
Though. Heavy odds on Shaughnessy. Okay, let's go. Let's start with... like a game of 500 in studio glassesless 500. All right, so let's start with let's just do in studio 500.
Yeah,
so I'm knocking you, Nick, with the heart problem. Let's start with a pitch to John Wallach.
Right.
Go.
Oh, come come on.
He completely botches that one, and that is... John Wall. That hit you right in the chest.
That noise you heard was not... him dropping it with his hands, that was hitting right off his gut.
Dude, Wallach, you aren't, like, you're really blind. Like, because it hit you in the chest, and then you moved your hands.
Yeah.
So when can you see the chicken? Like, what, like...
When it gets about 5 or 6 feet away from you,
oh, God.
I can't see anything.
I don't know what he's like with glasses on. Without them, he's Dwayne Allen.
I'm assuming lupus is what I am.
All right, Nick. Oh! How about young Nicholas?
I told... Vegas. You got to fade Vegas on this.
You can't throw, but that was a good catch.
John Wallach, who is 0 for 1, looking horribly awkward.
Did that clap when he caught that?
All right, T-Bone, throw that sucker. Oh!
That was a catch.
Almost falling into the side rail, John Wallach.
Rocky, but a catch.
All right, so you're 1 for 2. Mm. 1 for 2. Mm. Nick, who caught the first one, go for it.
That's unsettling.
Dude, that was like right in your gut.
I know.
And you can completely missed that one.
Yeah, right. You saw that, right?
That
wasn't an eye issue. That was a catching issue.
Yeah, that was just... Hey, okay, all right. Well, I guess
you
got that one. We'll put that one on the board, even though I was not ready for that. Dude, I've got sound effects to play.
Wallach's 2 for 3.
Okay, Wallach is 2 for 3. Okay, now here's what we're going to do. After you throw it to Nick, throw it one last time to Nick here. All right, throw it one last time to him.
Does this count?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's a count. Oh, he missed that one.
I hit him in the face.
All right, so now here's what we're going to do. We're going to do rapid fire. All right?
Fire.
So as soon as you get it, T-Bone, I want you to launch it at him, all right? Pick up the speed a little bit. Hang on. Real quick. The score is...
Wallach is 2 out of 3.
2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Nick, 1 out of 3.
Young Nicholas has 1 out of 3. All right? And when I say go, T-Bone, as soon as you get that thing in your hand, I want you to buzz it to him on a back and forth, okay?
Right.
You ready? Go. Oh, John Wallach. Nope. By the way, that was fair. That was, you should have caught that one. We all agree, right?
Yeah, hit you in the chest. That's
catchable. All right, go for it, T-Bone.
Oh! Odell Beckham!
That was a one-handed F you, John Wallach, in your face. Suck it, Rich Shirtleaf catch. Oh, man. So what are we back at? We tied?
2-2.
Oh, we're 2-2? All right.
But style points heavily in favor.
Punish him. Punish him, man. Go for it. Oh, you suck, John Wallach. Although Adam Jones ended up getting the
run.
Left-handed off the rebound. That bounce so far, I caught that off the rebound.
All right. Go for it. This is the Nick. Oh, Nick, you suck. You didn't get that one. All right, so we're tied at 2-2?
Yeah.
No. All right.
Don't do one-handed as a strategy, Nick. That was a nice one, but don't do one-handed
as a strategy. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to stop at 5. All right, this is the last one.
All right.
All right, we are tied. Real quick,
yeah.
Joe Murray's got John Wallach favored.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we go to John Wallach first. Go for it.
In your head.
Nick Cimelli. Hang on.
Might need a new nipple after that.
For the win. If Cimelli catches this one, he is absolutely embarrassed. John Wall, look at him trying to poke him around. All right, go for it. Oh, you both suck. So you know what that means? Time for 500. It's time for 500.
Yeah, here we go. Nice.
So hang on. Our man Tebow is going to throw it between you guys.
Oh, God.
All right. Nick, who has a horrible heart condition and a giant scar up in the middle of his chest. His heart can explode at any moment. And John Wallach, who weighs about 4 pounds. Are you ready?
Yeah,
I'm so ready.
Throwing it right between them. Who will fight again? And by the way, you get a point for getting it off the ground, too. So if both of you miss it, it's whoever comes up with it. It's 500 rules.
All right.
Whoever comes up with it, it's a scrum.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Don't sue me. Go. Oh, it's dropped! Nick, they're falling to the ground. Neither of them can see it. They're rolling. Did Nick get it?
He got it.
Oh, Vegas was wrong.
Oh, and the spike. I like it.
Nick Cimelli, after it falls to the ground, it takes a full 2 seconds for either of them to see anything by their feet.
I couldn't see a damn thing.
I'm
happy I caught two of them.
Well, that's...
I think.
I mean, if I'm going to put my sports talk radio hat on, that's not a great attitude after a loss. Now, Wallach, that's
kind of I'm happy for him.
That's kind of pushing the blame off. That's kind of blaming external factors. Neither of you had glasses. Mm-hmm. That's like blaming the refs. That's like Celtics fans blaming the refs after the loss last night.
I know. I would be lousy in a media scrum.
Yes.
I would be.
Somebody said Joe Murray said it means Wallach at minus 50 means there's no value, right? And Joe Murray tweeted out, minus 250 for Ken Griffey Rules, plus 170 for Nick. Fade, follow, or GL. Get lost. Fortunately, Joe Murray, we're both out a little bit of cash today. How you feeling, Nick? You all right?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good. You're feeling great.
Okay. I don't know what you're staring at, but it's to the left of my head.
It's Twitch.
Okay. He's trying to find the Twitch.
Oh, he's good. He's just grabbing at large objects in here.
I think that we conducted some major science today. Somebody said, by the way, now you're being screen capped. Nick, your videos are going viral already.
Oh, really?
The one-handed Nick. It's the one-handed catch, which is the Odell Beckham.
The one-handed catch was legitimately stunning.
That was a good grab right
That was
there.
Stunning.
Oh, without a doubt. I was fairly impressed by that because it was, Joe Murray just tweeted, bad beat.
Sorry, Joe.
That's a bad beat. By the way, somebody said, I had my glasses knocked off at a concert. I looked up in the crowd of 1,000 was just one blob of people. I dropped my knee and found them crunched with one lens missing. I ended up finding the lens about 20 people dropped instantly and helped me look for it, LOL, but I was screwed. So has anyone ever been completely screwed without their glasses? Like been stranded or hasn't been able to move? Because that to me, you said you were stuck in... What's that, Dan? Oh, yeah. John Wallach almost had a sleepover.
John was almost a sleepover situation where I have to stay at your house and be like, get out.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody said Glasses Olympics, a double blind study. Thank you, science community. MIT in the house. Mm. All right, 617-779-0985. Someone said Buster Douglas level upset right there. They said someone.
I am surprised. I'm stunned. That catch is, it's going to go down as, with like David Tyree is the greatest I've ever seen.
Someone said someone right now in a recliner, Mark Jamelli is so proud. Oh, Nick, you didn't suck for once.
You made me so proud.
You made daddy proud. All right.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Boston down 3, 105 to go. Kyrie switches to the right hand, gets a step on Bledsoe, behind the back pass for a Horford. Wade got it to tie the game.
Woo. Man.
95 apiece. What a night for Al Horford, 21 points, 16 rebounds.
Just glad basketball's back, man. That week took forever. And all the stuff that came out of it and... You know, it's been a rough week for Kyrie Irving as far as his impression in town. Even people have been defenders of his because of what he said to Steve Bulpet. You know, the whole thing about, you know, is the internet real? Which, you know, talking about the video of him talking to Kevin Durant, he did take somewhat of a PR hit. People have stood up for him for a long time. We're finally like, all right, well, this is the final straw. But once again, in the end, people like me are sitting back going, that really sucks, and I don't like it. And I don't like that part of his personality, and I wish it wasn't there. But the guy's a baller. Boy, there were some people on Twitter last night when he was going 1-for-11 and 1-for-12 who were having a field day. It's like, you see, this team doesn't need Kyrie. And then last night, of course, he misses the final shot. And if that's all you saw, then maybe that you're still on board with that. But, I mean, he just – I was telling you, Adam, earlier in the show, when he was shooting one for 12, I think, at one point?
1-for-11. Missed 10 of his first 11 shots.
1-for-11.
He's 1-for-10 at half, right?
I was sitting there going – he's still going to get like 20-something points, and the ball's going to be in his hands at the end if it's close. And it was. He ended up missing it. It was a blown play that they were supposed to get to Marcus Morris. And I know that you had the theory that – not the theory, but you were wondering if Brad Stevens had so much faith in Kyrie Irving, then why wasn't the play originally designed for him?
I guess my thing is we're all like, yeah, well, we all want Kyrie with the ball there at the end of the game, right? Like that's the situation we'd all want. I was just pointing out that's not actually what Brad wanted. What Brad drew up was a play for Marcus Morris that he got tackled on, according to Bill Simmons. that was actually the first read. I heard Wallach played the clip from Marcus Smart in one of the headlines. Yeah. Like I read the clip after the game, the quote after the game. That was the primary option on that play. That's where they were going. So we're all three of us are in agreement. We wanted Kyrie with the basketball. That's actually not what Brad drew up.
Yeah,
and I wasn't really taking away a bigger generalization than that. Just I would just point out that The play was not designed for Kyrie.
Well, I think that might have been for decoy reasons. It's because everyone, including probably the Bucks, you wanted to think that Kyrie was going to get the ball and make that the second option, because it's a good option.
That's a good fallback option.
Right, it's a great fallback option. But, you know, Marcus Morris in that situation has obviously hit big shots. He's the guy you want to get it to. It obviously was a play that, because of being tackled, as Bill Simmons says, ended up not going through. However, he has taken this PR hit. And I think that Chris Mannix has been the best about all of this, better than anybody. Last night he was on NBC Sports Boston, and his whole point was Kyrie is making mountains out of molehills. These are all things that are of his design. He is the one who's created all of this tension. He goes, if you really wanted to shut everybody up and you truly want everyone to stop talking, have some fun with it. When they come up to you and they ask you about, hey, what were you doing in the hallway with Kevin Durant? Just say, oh, we were discussing going to the Knicks and a couple max contracts. As a matter of fact, there's a couple other guys that we want to be with us on the Knicks. It's going to be awesome, all three of us. And just kind of laugh about it. And then it's like, and it kind of goes away.
Does it?
Yeah. You see, I think
that kind of what David Price did?
He takes much less of a PR hit.
David Price
did
that with, like, the Fortnite stuff? And he's like, oh, yeah, I was playing Fortnite.
But he kind of kept going with it. You do make a good point. But one thing Kyrie could have done is he could have gone, no, of course not after that.
He 100% could have done that.
Yeah.
I mean,
The way he handled it was obviously off. And then you've got people like Chauncey Billups. This is Chauncey Billups. He was on a Ryan Russillo's podcast. And, you know, everyone's got theories. And here is what Chauncey Billups has to say about how he believes Kyrie Irving is feeling about his time in Boston.
First of all, I was surprised when he said it. And I didn't know if he just got caught up in the emotion of the event. But I was really, really surprised that he had went there and pretty much committed to him. And then he put it in reverse and was like, nah, this is, you know. I was surprised, you know. But you know what it tells me, though, Ryan, is this. Like, to me, he's not happy there, you know. You go through the season, they've underachieved. It just doesn't seem like a lot of synergy and harmony with the squad. Like that. So it's basically, to me, it's him saying, I'm not sold on this situation.
All right, so the question I was thinking of last night was, does signing Kyrie to an extension end all of this?
Yeah.
Does it end the tension between him and the younger players?
Oh, well, I don't know about that. But
does it cure all of the weirdness that the team has had this year?
It cures.
Because right now, shouldn't that be the question that Danny Ainge should be asking himself? Is signing him to an extension, because we all agree that on paper, you got to have Kyrie Irving to win a championship. On paper, this dude is a killer in clutch time. He's won a championship before. We've seen him do it when the chips are on the table, except for last night.
I was going to say, last night aside,
usually the guy rises to the occasion. However, if re-signing him means there's still going to be a lot of tension. Like, let's say you know, the Anthony Davis thing doesn't come in there and some of these young guys are still around. It's not, you don't get rid of all the young guys. You know what I mean? Let's say there is a situation where it's Kyrie Irving and it's Jason Tatum and they're on the team together and Jaylen Brown. Does all of this weirdness stop? Even if the young guys are gone, does Kyrie stop being divisive to everyone else who's left on the team?
Well, no, I don't think that happens, but at least the distraction and what he seems particularly annoyed by is all the questions about it. Like that goes away. I don't know if the divisiveness goes away by signing him to an extension. I mean, maybe there's less friction because the young players are resigned to, okay, now he's here. Like maybe they have some doubt in their minds, like, and we got to the finals without him last year, the Eastern Conference Finals without him last year. So maybe it scales it back, but I don't know. I mean, if you're divisive, I don't think that goes away with a contract extension.
There's a clip that a lot of people are praising from Tommy Heinsohn last night, and here's what he had to say.
You know what I'd be saying on stuff like this? One day I'd say, yeah, I want to go to New York. Next day I'd say, no, I want to stay with the Celtics. Let them keep guessing. That's what I would do.
You know what? I don't have a problem with him saying that, you know, ask me on July 1st. You have the complete right to change your mind at any given point. And maybe it keeps the organization hungry. You know, maybe it keeps the guys around you hungry. If they truly want to keep you, maybe it means, hey, don't just think that I'm going to stay here. We got to do something in the postseason that convinces me this is the place I've got to be. I don't mind that, and I never minded it. When he said it, I didn't have a problem with it. It was weird because I was shocked by it. But every player has a right to do that. It's what he did to Bull Pett afterwards. It's making these, it's blaming the media for all this stuff when he's feeding the media. He's basically turning it into a story by him just not saying, no, of course not. You know, no, I'm not talking to him about going to the Knicks. Or, hey, listen, it's a private conversation. I understand you asking, but that's something I don't really want to discuss right now. But instead, he goes off on this just acts like a prick. You know, he goes in and starts like condescending
defensive. Yeah. Sometimes you're too defensive and it's like, well, what are you defensive about?
Yeah, you know what it reminded me of? Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant would pop off at the media. And how many times have we called out Kevin Durant? And we would be complete hypocrites to call out Kevin Durant and not call out Kyrie Irving for what he did. It's not what he said. And Tommy Heinsohn, that's not the reason I think a lot of people are mad at him. I think you have every right to do that. It was shocking. It was weird because he seemed to be Mr. All In at the beginning of the season. It's the other part of it that I think pissed most people off.
I think you get to a point if you're Kyrie Irving where ultimately he's just going to shut the media out. I mean, if it's just
Do you really think that?
I didn't say it was a smart move.
I don't think
what I think. I think it'll.
I think he likes this.
Up to a point.
He likes most of it.
Up to a point, but I think he's smart enough to know that this is going to be a long haul, and the media presence increases once we get to the playoffs and we get closer and closer to this. If he goes off for 37 in a playoff game and say, well, you know, and the fans are going crazy for him at the Garden, then it's one narrative. If he blows up and shoots 1 for 15 and they lose a clutch playoff game, well, how do you feel about the team now? How do you feel about the fans now? It might boom off the floor. Then it's something else entirely. I think there's a real possibility he could get sick of all this and just say, I'm not doing anything I don't have to anymore.
Yeah, I don't think that either. I would lean more with Rich here, where I think he likes being the center of attention. I don't think he always likes the coverage. He likes it when
the coverage gets bad enough, I could see him shutting down completely.
Yeah, I mean, but has LeBron ever done that?
No, it hasn't. But
okay,
and
so,
I know
so
he aspires to be LeBron.
He takes his cues from LeBron. It's exactly the same as LeBron. LeBron loves the adulation. He hates the scorn. He hates the ridicule. But LeBron never shies away from it. I don't think Kyrie would either.
Just why? I mean, it's like one of those things where you don't have. This doesn't have to be a story. Like, it doesn't have to be this big. You've made it this way, and you're yelling at people for asking you why it's a story. You have, this is something that you have created.
Right. Your free agency really wasn't a story. You said, hey, I intend to come back. That pretty much put it to bed. There were some stories being written in the time in the New York media about how maybe he would team up with Kevin Durant. And instead of nipping that in the bud in New York, which, by the way, he missed a couple of games, then decided to play in that Knicks game in New York, which was weird enough, and hold court in New York. Instead of nipping it in the bud there and just saying, yeah, no, I'm still committed to the Celtics, he completely reversed course, talked to me on July 1st. And since then, it has snowballed into what it is because he can't keep it in check.
Okay.
He chose not to keep it in check.
All right. Obviously, I think the fortunes of both guys are kind of tied to each other. If Kyrie Irving goes to New York, short of New York trading for Anthony Davis and drafting Zion Williamson and making a big push themselves, I mean, I don't think the two can win a title without each other, at least in the near future. I mean, suppose Kyrie Irving decides to leave. And maybe the Celtics make a trade for Anthony Davis. Maybe they don't. Are they closer to a championship or further away?
Well, my favorite theory is that Kyrie decides
to
leave.
With
Anthony
Davis
goes to the Knicks and Kevin Durant comes to the Celtics.
Hang on. With Davis instead of Kyrie, are they closer to a title?
I'm not sure of that.
Well, I'm not sure of it either, but Davis is better than Kyrie. So maybe.
Maybe, but I just think that...
It depends on what you have to give up for Davis, obviously.
In order for the Celtics to go and win the championship we all think they're capable of...
I'm having a hard time...
You need to have Kyrie on this team, or you need Kyrie and Anthony Davis on this team.
This is the first time in years I'm looking at this team as a Celtics fan, and I'm seeing your future being Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, possibly Kevin Durant, and it's three people whose personalities right now I'm not big fans.
See, that's what I'm saying.
And this is so weird to me because, I mean, think all the way back to the big three. Like, you loved Kevin Garnett. I mean, Kevin Garnett was, I know you're making a smirk.
Well, no,
but
I did love Garnett.
The dude bled.
Did you love Rondo?
Green. I see. I did.
Okay.
I loved Rondo.
A lot of people did.
Like, I thought that he was like, he had that pee and vinegar that you wanted in a player.
I had a lot of the same feeling with Rondo that I have with Kyrie. Really liked Rondo on the court. Not the biggest fan off.
But it's different because Rondo's role on that championship team wasn't front and center.
True. On the championship team, I was more talking when
Rondo had a back seat on the championship team. Rondo, once all of the big three got older and said, you know, you really need to step forward. This is your team.
That
was different Rondo, and that's the Rondo you didn't like.
That wasn't
I don't think the comparison is legit because Kyrie is front and center and needs to be that way for this team to win.
It's been such a long time since I've looked at the Celtics, and there's been a player where I'm just like, I just wish he wouldn't talk anymore. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, because they've been, I hate the word likable, and I hate like talking about a team being likable. But I do honestly just, every time I hear a Kyrie Irving story, I was like, please don't be him saying something about another player on the team. Just please, make it end. I like this guy way too much in the court. I want him to be a Celtic. But man, you're making it tough. You're making it really tough. And then people are saying, well, if they could get Kevin Durant sitting, I don't like that guy either. He's a great player. But
Celtics are tied to this guy, tied to a guy that you may not necessarily like, but this is, I mean, Danny Ainge made about 75 trades to get the kind of roster he's got now. And if you get rid of Kyrie, or if Kyrie leaves, you don't got to get rid of Kyrie. If Kyrie decides that he doesn't want this engagement and breaks it off and goes somewhere else during the summer, the Celtics go nowhere but down.
And I guess that's my hope, is that signing an extension, once Kyrie does that, this all ends.
Everything falls in line.
And that's my hope. And I hope that maybe he's just irked by the whole situation and that's the reason. But that would be ideal. That would be ideal for me. Ideal would be Kyrie signs an extension. I mean, this team, as is, goes to the finals. And then they say, all right,
maybe
Tatum is a beast. We can win a championship, and they end up not trading.
Maybe, but Kyrie was 2+ years removed from free agency his final year in Cleveland, and he wasn't talking to his teammates in the playoffs, and then threatened to shut it down with an injury and force his way out of town. So maybe that's just who he is. You know, maybe regardless of free agency situation, maybe that's just who he is.
It's T&R.
Heard you like to party.
The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode. Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. I am getting teased by my Facebook feed because it seems like lately every time I go through my feed there is an ad for Chick-fil-A, you know, the sponsored ads. So obviously I'm either talking about it, tweeting about it, or Googling it, or somehow Facebook has found the algorithm that knows that I'm a massive fan of Chick-fil-A.
Right.
And they're teasing me because it's like, now delivered to your door. And I'm like, not where I live. There ain't no Chick-fil-A anywhere near me.
It's coming though, correct?
Yeah. That's a weird story because apparently there's a Chick-fil-A downtown. I know for forever, Menino said he would never have a Chick-fil-A in the city.
Why?
I think it had something to do with, like, there was some political stance that they made, and I don't want to get it wrong, but I think you disagree with it.
Whatever, for whatever reason.
For whatever reason, there was no Chick-fil-A. So now, it's been announced that there's going to be one in downtown, there's going to be one, like, in I think, by Copley Square, but where the location's going to be, there's a Bolico right now. So I don't know.
People didn't know it was coming?
I think when it was first announced, those people didn't know.
Oh, boy. Is that how you pronounce that place?
See, dude, I don't care. Bolico, I guess I've only
said it to myself in my head. I thought it was Boloco.
It's Boston local company, but
Boloco.
I always thought it was Boloco, but who cares? But either way, that's where the Chick-fil-A is supposed to be. Place is still open and running. So, and all this talk about it, and there's been a Taco Bell at Downtown Crossing that has had a sign that says coming soon for like a year, and it still hasn't opened. It used to be a Subway, and it was a Taco Bell. So I've got like my two dream fast food restaurants within like literal blocks of where I live. And all I want to do is eat there and I can't. And it infuriates me, the lack of fast food choices that are anywhere near downtown. I mean, drive-through, forget about it. I mean, when's the last, like, where is the closest Taco Bell drive-through to downtown?
Taco Bell.
Out near me.
Saugus?
Out near me.
There's that one on the Street of Dreams over in Saugus, which I've driven to many a time.
Oh, I think there's one. Is there one on the Golden Road in Natick? I'm not sure.
Well, there's got to be. The Golden Road's
good. We got everything else.
You got Arby's there?
No.
It's not a Golden Road then.
So. I don't think we have an Arby's where I have. We have more of a Silver Road.
You will admit,
we have just about everything else out where I am.
You do, but I mean, a true Street of Dreams would have, and the true Street of Dreams would have an Arby's.
Yeah.
You'd have Chick-fil-A. You have Taco Bell.
We have Chick-fil-A.
You'd have a Dunks. You'd have Dunks, because that's everywhere.
Multiple Dunks.
Mm.
It's a good street. Yeah.
Maybe.
We have a Moe's. We have a Bolico.
Yeah, Moe's is great, but I'm talking drive-through. So you can double and triple dip.
All right. I got you.
Like, you know, like when you're getting one meal and you drive through, you get a Chick-fil-A sandwich. And then you're like, you know what? I could use a side of Taco Supremes. And then you go to there. And then you say, you know what? I don't want some fries. I want Wendy's nuggets. Or the freaking potato cakes that they've got over at Arby's.
I got a Wendy's, you know me? Yeah.
Arby's has got like potato heaven. They got the curly fries, which absolutely kick ass.
No, when we were in Atlanta, I was very happy because there was an Arby's right near where
it was all right there.
Yeah, it was right
Arby's
there.
Arby's got expensive, though.
I know, yeah, but
Marty,
I didn't care.
Marty was talking up the Arby's down there.
I didn't
there.
Care.
Arby's is great. But, and by the way, because Arby's is a lot like Mike's roast beef. Like, some of the roast beef places around here are just like monster sandwiches.
Yep.
Like, I mean, they're the size of pizzas, and I can't do that. I just can't. Arby's is just the right kind of just like slides right down your throat. But it was like $4.50 or something like that.
I didn't care.
Like,
it's Arby's.
Yeah, right there.
I was eating.
Mr. Monopoly guy.
I was eating.
$4.50 for like a tiny sandwich.
I was fine
the best
with it. I didn't care.
Guy won't buy a backup pair of glasses, but he'll be munching down.
Arby's is a little cheaper, Jones.
Arby's sandos.
I know you're not a glasses guy, but I think it's a little cheaper to buy an Arby's than a backup pair of glasses.
My glasses can wait. Fetch me an extra sandwich.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. What's the problem? It's a lot cheaper to buy the sandwich.
So was this Everett has a Taco Bell drive-thru? Is that true?
I had no idea.
Everett has one?
The one day we need Bird.
That is true.
Everett is a little slice of heaven.
One day you could really get that answer definitively.
Yeah.
Mm. I might have to treat myself.
Everett,
after the show.
Everett might have a drive-through Taco Bell.
Is it a hybrid?
I don't know.
Because the hybrids used to cheap out on either one. Like, you used to only get like part of the Taco Bell menu, part of the KFC. Right. And I never get anything from the KFC side. So I'd rather just have a full menu Taco Bell.
I feel like you're making a mistake. No KFC there.
There's like, what would you? Because it's tough to eat in the car.
Oh, it's real tough to eat in the car. That's true,
dude. It's all about driving through and double dipping and doing it that way. And there's such a lack of that anywhere around Boston. Drive-throughs are, it's a crime, an absolute crime. And I think it's because, like, in some states, like, I know in Acton, there's a McDonald's there, but it doesn't have a drive-through because Acton put some weird archaic law out there that they think because people are going to...
Riff-raff.
Yeah, no. It's not even a riff-raff thing. It's like they feel responsible for the health of the community, and driving through is going to end up making people not care about what they're eating. Blah, blah, blah. It's my choice. I eat where I want to eat. Let me just drive up, you jerks. I want to eat.
Almost a bad word there by Richard.
Well, when you talk about fast food, my passion for it.
Wow, you see that, Joe?
Get all fired up.
He really had to stop short there.
All right. No commercials, just John Wallach's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.